Well, if you have your Bibles with you today, open up to Deuteronomy chapter 4. Deuteronomy chapter 4 today. And today's message is called A Mother's Day Message for All of Us. Because what I didn't want to do is single out just mothers and have the rest of the people sit there twiddling their thumbs saying, well, there's nothing there for me. No, this is for all of us. So this part will be for everyone. I'll have a section in here for mothers, and I'll have a section in here for children. That covers all of us again, by the way, just so you know. We're all children. Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5. And I want you to listen closely as we read this. And it says, surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me, that you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Therefore, be careful to observe them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples who will hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? I thought I love that, and we'll come back to that in just a minute. And what great nation is there that has such statutes and righteous judgments as are in all this law which I set before you this day? And then it goes on and it says, only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. And teach them to your children and your grandchildren, especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. And I love this scripture because it's talking about in the early days, teaching the children. And that again is why it's for all of us. All of us. Moses played the mediator of God's word. He didn't take credit for coming up with this on his own. And he said, here are the things that God has commanded me. So he always gave God credit where that credit was due. Rather than saying, I came up with this and listen to me. He said, this is what God has commanded me. So Moses told his people, live out your life in obedience. We talked earlier about, man, make us be an example. Help us to be an example. Allow us to be an example of God's love. And Moses said, we have to live out our life in obedience to God to be an example so others would want to be like us or be like them. And he's telling them, do these things and let your actions speak for themselves. The New Testament speaks about that as well. And it says, let your character and your actions be such that people, when they come across you, don't question you and say, well, what is that about? They'll already know because of the way you act. They'll say, this is what they're about. And we want to live that out the other days of the week that we're not here in church in front of church friends where people see us. I worked with one of our members now, and I had to apologize the other day. I said, I'm sorry, don't tell our church. I guess that's because I want to confess myself. We want to live out our character all the time. Everything that we do, so that we're the same person at work, at home, at school, wherever we are. We want to live that out. As Christians, we're to be the same and do the same thing today that we will tomorrow. That we will tonight, that we did last night. Did the things we do last night glorify and honor God? Will the things we do tomorrow glorify and honor God as well? In verse 7, God has promised to be near us and hear our prayers. That's the same today. He says, I'm near you. When you pray to me, no one's nearer to me than God's people. And you're my people. So I hear your prayers. And it says, for what great nation is there that has God so near to it as the Lord your God is to us, for whatever reason we may call upon him? God knew their needs. He was going to call, when they called upon God, he knew their needs. They could call on him for anything. We can call on him for anything as well, for our help as well. We always try and tell the younger folks, please don't fail to study for a test and then say, God, just help. Bring the answers to light like they're going to stand out in a neon flashing light and say,
pick letter D. That's the answer to this one. And the next one, letter C.
We have to do our work. But we can also call upon God to help us when we need help. But His Word also says, pray that my will be done. And there's consequences for us being disobedient or not studying and doing those things. Don't forget what God has done for you. Now go out and teach what you have been, what you have seen and heard to your children and grandchildren, it tells you. In this day and age, we talk about grandparents raising a lot of the kids or having a heavy part in that. We cannot rely on the school system to do all the teaching. And I'm not saying they're no good, we can't rely on them. I'm saying teaching has to come from within the home, within our four walls. Because we decide what we want our children to know and accept and believe. Amen? We have to decide that. We cannot rely on others to teach them their thoughts. So we have to step in as well. To just send your children off to school and say, hey, good luck. I hope the teacher's doing their job teaching you everything. We have a responsibility as well, and we have homework to do. You're not going to learn this thing by listening to Pastor Eric or Pastor Adam speak out of it. You have to go home and read it and do your homework and bring back questions and study it. Here's one thing I would advise as well. Listen to the answers you are given and by whom it is given to you by. I've heard answers before that were incorrect. They're good guesses, but they're not correct and accurate. So study the Bible where you have questions, ask people, and then maybe ask two or three people that have some biblical knowledge, wisdom, and authority. Because we don't want to pass on bad information from the Bible as well. There's enough of that going on in this world. We want to know the information we're reading and studying. So it says, pass it on to your children and grandchildren. We have to do these things. Flip over to Proverbs chapter 31. I hear this a lot on the radio from Proverbs 31 Ministries. A lady gets on and talks about those things. But I want to read about this. This woman that the Bible speaks of. The virtuous wife is what mine says in Proverbs 31. And we're going to read verse 10 through 31. And it's a bit of scripture, but it has some good things, and I want to read it all. It says, who can find a virtuous wife? Nobody answered. I was afraid people were going to start hollering out or waving their hand or something. For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trust her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her household and a portion for her maidservants. She considers a field and buys it. From her profits, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and strengthens her arms. She perceives that her merchandise is good, and her lamp does not go out by night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands hold a spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of snow for her household, for all her household is clothed with scarlet. She makes tapestry for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them and supplies sashes for the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing. She shall rejoice in time to come. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is a law of kindness. She watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her of the fruit of her hands
and let her own works praise her in the gates. Amen indeed. The virtuous wife. There's many points in there. I started out with two I wanted to bring out, and then I said, no, let me bring out 3 points. There's 4 points I want to focus on briefly in the virtuous wife. Verse 26 says, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is a law of kindness. The wife's mouth is full of wisdom and kindness. When she speaks kindly and wisely. Verse 27 says, she watches over the ways of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Proverbs 19:15 says, laziness casts one into a deep sleep, and an idle person will suffer hunger. She does not suffer hunger because she doesn't get involved in idleness. Wives, I put this in there for your husbands. Verse 28. Yes, that includes me as well. Verse 28. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Listen up, husbands. Her husband also calls her blessed, and he praises her. Husbands, bless your wife. Call her blessed and praise her. She needs that. She desires that. And she deserves that. I think we probably have some work to do in that area a lot of times, but we want to be an example to our children. We want to be an example in this church to our young men and our young women. And we want to praise and honor our wives in public. Husbands. Heed the word, husbands. Praise your wife, okay? Thus saith the Lord. As the Lord has commanded me, I said it, okay? I was obedient there, thank goodness. And then verse 30 and 31. Charm is deceitful, beauty is passing. And I'm not focusing on beauty's passing. I'm saying that women, focus on your inner beauty. It says, a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Fear the Lord and be praised. And then I love this. It says, give her of the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Know that your own work will be your praise in the gates for you. Okay, but men, again, don't forget to praise and honor our wives. So now we've spoken to the mothers. We've talked about the virtuous wife, in many cases, which is the mother. Now for the children. Let's turn to Psalm 127. I guess we didn't need to turn there. I just had one brief thing to read out of there. Sorry. I read ahead. Psalm 127, verse 3. And it says, behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. And I know Pastor Eric has preached that before and talked about children being a heritage from the Lord. And I love that. Children, we need to know. And again, in case some of us older folks have forgotten, we are still children. We're just older children. Okay, we are a heritage from the Lord. Man, that's great. I love that, Adam. Guys, I apologize, but let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs 23. I just had that one brief thing and I went there jumping ahead. So Proverbs 23, I'm sorry. I do good to read my own writing sometimes up here, and you guys have seen that. But Proverbs talks a lot about children and parents and what to do and idleness and keeping busy and being busybodies and all these different things. Proverbs is a great book to just read and learn those life lessons. Proverbs chapter 23, verse 22 through 25. And it says, listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Buy the truth and do not sell it. also wisdom and instruction and understanding. The father of righteousness will greatly rejoice, and he who begets a wild child will delight in him. Does that say wild child, wise child? You know, when you try and read so fast, guys, come on. I had thought, there's no way it said a wild child. This is going to be a great Mother's Day. Okay? I begat the wild child, I guess. A wise child will delight in him. Let your father and your mother be glad, and let her who bore you rejoice. That's a tough one to get past. Let her who bore you rejoice. Children, we are to be a joy to our parents. Let us, if we are not, let us venture and endeavor to be a joy to our parents, and we can start today. We are to be a joy to our parents. Be a source of joy for them. Miss Dorothy, when I was talking to her on the phone the other day, she said, there's so many people and so many silly reasons that families don't speak these days. And I thought, that's words from a wise woman. She said so many silly reasons. And she wasn't talking about her personal life. She was just talking about people she had seen on TV or heard or spoke to or whatever. And we do. We come up with all kinds of reasons that we can't speak to our family. At the very end of the message today, we're going to talk about that and how to get past that. But I thought, words from a wise woman, silly reasons, get past that, get beyond that, put the family back together. We're to bring joy to our parents. Proverbs 19 also. Proverbs 19, verse 26 and 27. And I want to read these again. These are for the children. And again, we're all children. It says, he who mistreats his father and chases away his mother is a son who causes shame and brings reproach. Cease listening to instruction, my son, and you will stray from the words of knowledge. When we cease to listen to instruction, when we cease to listen to the word, when we cease to teach the word to our children and grandchildren, they will stray from the words of knowledge, and they will stray from the word of God. Children, we are to stay buried and immersed in this and connected to this. No matter how old we are, be lifelong learners, lifelong students. That's all of us. Do not stray from the words of knowledge, from instruction, from learning. Do not mistreat your father or chase away your mother. We're to be a joy to our parents. Why? Why are we supposed to do this? If you want, turn to 1 Peter. And we'll close with this. 1 Peter chapter 4. And it's going to answer these questions for us. And it's going to tell us why we should bring joy to our parents. Why we should be a joy to that person that bore us. First Peter chapter 4, verse 7 through 11. And it says this, but the end of all things is at hand. Therefore be serious and watchful in your prayers. Now listen carefully. And above all things, have fervent love for one another. For love will cover a multitude of sins. Be hospitable to one another without grumbling. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another. As good stewards of the manifold grace of God. For if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Christ Jesus, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen.
Love covers a multitude of sins. If your mother did not provide you with the love that others had and that you felt you need or that God designed for, know that the Father's love covers that. And His love also covers a multitude of sins for us. A mother's love can be very powerful. It can be overwhelming. It can carry us through amazing difficulties in life. But I know not every situation is perfect and great. And I know that there's history of mothers and or fathers and or stepmothers or stepfathers that again have not carried on a biblical view of love and nurturing and care. But think back a few months ago in February, and I talked about love, and we talked about Valentine's Day. And I said, man's love will fail. It can fail. It will fail. It does fail. But remember what we read? Love never fails. God's love never fails. I read that at the wedding I did last week. Love never fails. And we listed all the things that love does. But I love this. For love will cover a multitude of sins. A mother's love covers sins of the children. And your love can cover sins of your mother. Because God's love is all-encompassing. It embraces us all. It surrounds us all. And it says, man, no matter what happened, I love you. No matter whether it was abuse or abandonment or whatever, God says, I will not abuse you. I will not abandon you. What can separate us from God's love? Nothing. He says, nothing can separate us from His love. On this Mother's Day, we have to think about our mothers. Let's celebrate our mothers. Let's bring joy to our mothers. If our mothers are not here with us today, and I mean here with us physically, here on this earth with us, we can still bring them joy by our character and by the life we lead, by our example and what we do. Amen? Let's bow our heads in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for mothers today. God, we thank You as all of us are children. We ask You to remind us to bring glory and honor to You and bring joy to our mothers by our actions, by our lifestyle, by our character. God, on a day like today where some may have been hurt by mothers in the past, Lord, that You would heal them, that You would just embrace them, that You would help them on a path towards healing. Lord, we thank You for Your love, which is more powerful than any love. God, help us as we go out this week to be light and salt to those we know and don't know, that we can be examples of Your love, that we lead a life that's attractive to others, that makes them want to be like us. Like we read with the story of Moses, that just by the character of those people, others wanted to be like them. God, where we're distant from You, help draw us near to You. God, our actions and words this week, help us to think about You and study Your Word and just make Your Word come alive to us. I ask these things in Your Son's name. Amen.